Okay, we're in Parakei in Hilchos Chametz Matzah. We left off with Halacha Tes, and the Rambam in this parak is dealing with the substances that are defined as chametz, as well as the precautions we must take to make sure that things don't become chametz on Pesach. So he continues this theme in Halacha Tes, where he says, "Vikach amru chachamim, tzarech adam li zaher bedagan she'ocha mimena bepesach, shelo yovo olav mayim." So that's why the Chachamim were very careful. They warned us that it's critical, it's necessary that we keep an eye on our matzah, okay, matzah shmura, from the point that it's harvested all the way through the end of baking, to make sure no water gets to it, in order to make sure that there is no chimutz. Dagan shenitva benahar o shenafalav mayim. So as an example, let's say you have grain that's sunk to the bottom of a river, or that water poured all over it. Kishem she'asur la'achlo, kach asur la'kaimo. So not only, of course, you can't eat it, but you can't even keep it in your possession. So rather, what do you do? Ela mochro li'yisrael, umodio kadesh yochlenu kodam pesach. Rather, what do? You can go ahead and sell it off to a Jew and make sure he eats it for Pesach. V'imachro le'goyim kodam pesach, mochro ma'at l'kol echav echad, if you sell it to a non-Jew, so you should be sure to sell it so in very, very small amounts, meaning in small chunks that would therefore be sold to individuals, because you want to make sure that the non-Jew doesn't go back and try to sell it to a Jew who would then be over the isser of having it in their possession when Pesach starts. Halacha Yud. Now, Dagan shenafal lav dalaf kolzman. Okay, so what's the situation here? Let's say I have a bucket filled with grain underneath my gutter on my roof, and it rains, and now there's a leak in the gutter, and water's dripping slowly, drop by drop, onto the bucket full of grain. Okay, kolzman shehu tored tipa achar tipa, afilu kol yom kulo, eino ba lidei chimutz. Interesting. So the Rambam says, this is based on the Gemara, that as long as it goes drop by drop, okay, meaning drop and then another drop consistently, we actually say, it may sound counterintuitive, but we say that fermentation does not take place. Aval kashaposek, but let's say the water stops dripping in, then im nishta kashir hareza aser. If it, the break in water falling is enough time that we would say normally a fermentation would take place, then we consider this to be chametz, and therefore it's aser. Halach yin aleph, ein lashin bepesach isa gedola. Okay, so of course you can make matzah on Pesach, so you're allowed to mix together water and flour. But the thing is, you should not make a large amount of dough. Shema tachmetz, because what the concern is that since it's so big, as you're kneading it together, it'll take time to do that, and some part of it will ferment. Ela kashir chalabavad. Rather, the largest amount of dough that you should knead together on Pesach should be enough. The maximum amount should be the minimum amount to be chayv and challah. Okay, so again, the largest amount of isa that you should use on that you should knead together on Pesach should be the minimum that's required to be mafresh challah from it. Vein lashon lo bechama lo bechamechama. So of course you can't use hot water, whether it's naturally heated or it's heated by, excuse me, whether it's boiled or heated by the sun. V'lo b'mayim shenish avu bo b'yom. Right, el mayim shlano. That's an interesting one. You can't use water that was drawn from, let's say, a well and left out the entire day. Rather, you have to use fresh water. Vim avar v'losh be'echa mikol elu harei pasasura. And if you went ahead and used any of these types of water, then the pas that you made, again being matzah here, would be a problem. It would be usur on Pesach. Halach yud beis lo seishev isha tachas hashemesh v'talosh. So a woman should not go ahead and sit outside under the sun and go ahead and knead dough. Okay, v'lo tachas harakia biyoma avim. Okay, nor should she sit, let's say, under the sky during a cloudy day. All right, even where I feel welcome shena shemesh zarachas bo, even if the sun isn't shining there. V'lo taniach ha'seisa v'sisasek b'davar acher. She should not, after she starts kneading dough, she shouldn't set it aside and then get involved in something else. V'm ha'isa lasha v'ofet tzricha shnei keilim shamayim. If she goes ahead and decides to knead dough together and then bake it, she needs two containers of water. Echad shemekatefes bo, v'echad shemitzanenes bo, yadea. So she, what do you call it? A man can't knead dough in the sun either. So what should she use? Two kalim, okay? One of them is there to smooth out the matzah, and the other one's there to cool off her hands. Vim avra v'losha tachas ha-shemesh, if she or he went ahead and did kneaded the dough underneath the sun, o shalot sun no yadea, or she didn't cool off her hands while kneading the dough, o sha'asa isa yeser mishir chala ha-pas materis, or if she made, let's say, dough that was greater than the shir chala, in all these situations, that which she makes is still mutter. The kama shir chala, and it's interesting, what is the shir chala? How much dough do you have to go ahead and knead together to produce a chi of chala? Kamo sholosh v'arbaim beitzim v'chomesh beitzim. So it's 43 and a fifth eggs, right? Or beitzos. Could go in a beitza beinonis lo kamishkala. And it's the size, it's the average size of an egg, which here means volume and not weight. It doesn't go by the weight, but by the volume. So 43 and one fifth beitzim, that's the standard amount that you're chayev to be mafresh chala. Okay, alachi gimel. Okay, alachi gimel. Okay, so as long as the person's engaged in, let's say, for instance, kneading the dough together, it'll never ferment. Okay, so if you have time to go ahead and do that, I don't suggest testing this out on Pesach, but halacha says it doesn't become chametz. Okay, so this is a little tricky. Okay. So let's say a person's kneading dough and they take a break. Okay, now what it called? What happens in doing so? It rises to the point. Now this is not a description of what it looks like. Rather, what it is like this: it rises, but what to what level? To the level where if I went ahead and took my hand and clapped it against the dough, okay, there's a certain type of a sound. Will reverberate as a result. It'd be like basically saying that it's like I'm clapping on a hard surface. So when the dough produces that sound, we say at that point it's already fermented and I must burn it immediately. Vim ein kolo nishma, okay, it's an amazing thing to rely on this, but if that sound isn't produced when I hit my hand against it, right? Im shah kadesh yahalech adam mil, but nonetheless, if the dough was set aside for the amount of time it would take for a person to walk a mil, kvar hechmetz v'yisraf miyad. All right, so even if the sound wasn't produced, then we fall back on a time measurement, which is the amount of time it takes to walk a mill. If I left the dough out for that long, it's a problem. Also, if the other way to look at it is that if the surface of the dough became wrinkly, okay, which resembles somebody whose hair is standing upright, hareza asul achlo. It's also to eat that, vein chayv and love karis, okay, and not chayv and karis. So they don't really have here, they don't have like 18 minutes, right? They have different standards that they use for determining at what point something it becomes chametz, if I'm needing dough. Halach yadalet, hayu shtei iso shigbiu hayad mehen, niloshos be'es achas v'nishtohu. Okay, so now, let's say there are two chunks of dough, right, with two people, one, each person needing their own thing of dough, okay, and what happens? And they both leave it unattended. They both leave the dough on its own, so they stop kneading the dough. Ha'achas mehen yesh la kol, v'acheres ein la kol. So let's say one of them makes that sound, and the other one does not make the clapping sound. All right, yisrafu v'arei hein chametz gomer. We assume that both of them are a problem, and therefore they're chametz, and they have to be burnt on Pesach. Okay, halacha tes or before Pesach. Halacha tes vav. Ein osin srikin hamitsuyarim bePesach. Okay, so you shouldn't make like very thick loaves of bread. Well, again, matzah here, but you shouldn't make thick loaves with designs. Okay, mitsuyarim are designs, like whatever. Like let's say you're scoring stuff into the dough. Why? Neisha isha shoa love, right? Because when a woman does it, it takes a long time to make those fancy designs. Umid chamtsin beis asiyasan. And what happens? It ferments during the period of time that she's going ahead and making the designs in the dough. Lefikach hanachtumen, right? So bakers who are professionals, mutar lasosim, they can make fancy designs in their dough. Meishehen bekin beumnason umharim lasosim. So since they're experts in their field, they're very quick at making these designs. On the other hand, though, aval bali batim asur, but a baal bas shouldn't do it. Afilu tsara osam betfus. Even if I use like a pre-cut mold to make this design. Shema yavo acherim laso shelo betfus v'yishar bes yasam yachmitzah. So that's for different. Well, it's in other words, this is a one of those causal things. If someone sees me using a mold to make dough with, or to make my matzah with, right? But now the mold has like a certain design. Someone may come along and say, well, I don't have to use a tefus, right? And I can go ahead and make my own design that I use my hand instead of using a mold. And then what's going to happen is it's going to come ferment. We don't want people seeing that, so therefore you shouldn't do it. Okay, the water that I use to wash my hands with, the ha'ariva achar shaloshin, as well, the let's say I knead a dough in like a trough, okay? The trough itself, after the kneading of the dough is done, as well as the water that's used during the time of kneading itself. So you have to pour it out in a place like in a slant, a sloped area where you know the water won't collect. So you have to make sure that doesn't happen. You have to dispose of the water in a way to ensure that chimutz will never happen. Even the water that you use, on earth, let's say you wash your hands in the sink after kneading the dough, you'd have to be very careful to make sure all that water is evacuated from the sink. Halachi Yad Zayim, Ein Shorin Esam Morsan Umanichan Vea Tarnagolan Shem Yachmes. So you can't take a bran, soak it in water, and leave it in front of the chickens to eat because it might ferment. However, Aval Choltin Lehenam Morsan Beroschen Umanichan Lefdan. But I could boil it. I could boil the bran and give it to the chickens to eat. Ugvar Nagu Rova Olam Shlo Lachlot Gzera Shem Al Yartia Chamayim Yafeh. But the custom of the people today is not to boil any dagon because of chashash. So today, the minhag is we never boil grains, even if you could work out a situation where it should be mutter. Alach yud ches, umutter lalul shetarnagolin, mursona kemach, right? But I'm allowed to go ahead and prepare, let's say, flour for the chickens, umachila miyad, right? If they're fed immediately with it. O nosen lifnehen, or if I serve it to the chickens and I stand there watching over them, waiting there, the amount of, and they consume the kemach, let's say, in the amount of time it would take for me to walk a mill. The kol's man shehein menakrimbo, okay? So as long as they're eating, pecking at it, or they're turning it over in their hands, eino machmetz, then it doesn't become chametz. Right, and when they're done eating, you got to clean out the bowl that you use to serve them the kemach with completely. And you go ahead and dump it out in a place where you know the water will not collect. Okay, lo sistra isha mursan shetolach b'adel merchatz. So a woman should not take again this bran. She shouldn't soak it if her intention is to go ahead and bring it to the bathhouse. Aval shafahi al basar yavish, but she's allowed to take dry bran. I'm not sure why they did this, but to use that and wipe it over your skin, that you'd be allowed to do. Lo yilos adam chitin, a person can't chew wheat. V'iten al makasav they shehen machmitzas. So I can't like chew up wheat kernels and then let's say use it to close up a wound. I can't do that because there's a concern it will become chametz. Ain nosin es a kemach letocha charoses is our first mention of charoses. You have to add a little background. According to the Rambam, charoses contained vinegar. That's going to be important to understand these halachas. So I can't put flour into charoses. Vim nasan yisraf miyad. And if I do put flour in my charoses, I must burn it immediately. Neishu memayer lahachmitz. Because what happens? It'll ferment very, very quickly. Vim nosin es a kemach letocha chardal. I can't put flour into mustard. Vim nasan yocham yad. And if I did put flour into mustard, I'd have to eat it immediately. Now, when it comes to making matzah, so I can put things like sesame seeds inside the dough. And I'm allowed to knead the dough with water or we know I can do it with oil alone, but I can do it with water and oil or water and honey, etc. Okay? But as we all know, for matzah that I have on the first day of Pesach, okay, I cannot go ahead and knead it with anything other than water. Lo mishum chametz, not because of an issue of fermentation, ela kadei shiye lechem oni. Special din that it must be poor man's bread. Uv'yom arishon bilvad hu shetzarech lios zikaron lechem oni. And it's only din on the first day. So the chiyuv of using matzah shmura, well, it's not just matzah shmura, but matzah that's made with water only is because of lechem oni and only applies to the first night of Pesach. Melacha chaf aleph, kol kli cheresh and ishtamesh behen chametz bitzonein. So any, okay, now comes the issue of kelim. From here to the end of the parak, the Ram is going to focus on how to machshir kelim to be used on Pesach. So I mean pots and pans and stuff like that. So anything that's made out of earthenware, kokli cheresh, and ishtamesh behen chametz bitzonein, mutter, lishtamesh behen matzah bitzonein. So if I have a ceramic bowl that I only use for cold, and I put cold bread in there, regular bread, and if I have a bread basket that's made out of earthenware, okay, I am 100% allowed to use that bread basket on Pesach for matzah, okay? The issue of kelim is always about tam, and tam happens with heat. Chutz mikli shemanichem bo es haseor, ukli shemanichem bo charoses, mei shechimutzon kasha. But I can't use the kli if I would store, for instance, yeast in there, or charoses, which has the vinegar, because what happens there? The effect of the fermentation that emerges affects the status of the taste of the kli. Okay, it affects the kli. V'chein arivus shaloshem hena chametz, u'minichen osam sham ad sheyachmetz, right? So too, those kneading troughs where I actually knead chametz in it, right, and I leave chametz in there, okay, to leaven. Harehen kebeis seor v'eim mishtam shemem Pesach. It's similar to like a place where yeast was soaked, and I can't use that type of kli on Pesach. Halacha chabeis. Now biv shel cheres, okay, she'ofen olav chalos chametz kol hashana, ain ofen olav matzah Pesach. But if there's like a earthenware roasting pot or pan that I bake bread in, like real bread during the year, then I shouldn't use that to bake matzah on Pesach. Again, notice the heat. Ve'im malu gichalim ve'hisik makom shayim avasha bo chametz murtel vashal of matzah. This is interesting. But let's say it was the kli was filled with hot coals, okay? So what do you call it? So the area where of the coals that was used to what do you call it? There's the coals aren't usher to use to make matzah. That's the key. In other words, if someone would think that the fact that coals were involved in making bread would make them a problem. The coals aren't a problem at all. As long as, of course, there's no chametz on them, there's no problem using the coals to cook matzah, to bake matzah on Pesach. Now, lacha chagimol, now kli matachos, sort of metal kelim, ukli avanim, pots and pans made out of stone, shenishtamish behen chametz beroschin, bikli rishon, kagon kaderos velfasin. So, if I have a metal kli, a pot, we'll say a cast iron pot, and I use it. I cook water in there with chametz. Okay, kli rishon means the pot was on the fire. Okay, no sin osan the kli gadol. So how do I make this metal kli able to be used on Pesach? I put it into a larger kli, malei alei mayim, and I fill it up with water. Umarsicha mesocho ad she yiflatu. Right. So I boil the kli inside the larger kli with water until the tam exudes from the inner kli. The achrach shotef osam betzonein, and immediately afterwards I wash off that kli with cold water. Umishtamish mehem matzah. This is the hagala that we do to allow to be used our kelim on Pesach. Vechein hasakinin, so too with knives, because knives have a special place in halacha. Marsiach es alohav, right? So what I have to do is vesa netzeb bekli rishon. So I have to go ahead and boil them in the kli rishon hot water, both the shaft and the blade, right? V'achrach mishtam shem matzah, then I can use it. So that's the idea of hagala by knives as well. So halacha gimel is talking about hagala you have to do for Pesach. Halacha chavdala, now kli matachos v'avon. Sure. Okay, halacha chavdala, kli matachos v'avonim u'klei etzim, shenishtamash bahen chametz b'kli sheni. Okay, now let's talk about, for instance, let's say a plate, meaning let's say a metal plate, okay? That what do I do? So I put the, let's say, my pizza, I take it out of the oven, that's kli rishon heat, onto the plate, now that's kli sheni, okay? So nosin osan l'tol kli gadol, v'nosin aleihem mayim roschin, u'manicha mitzocho ad shiflotu v'achach shotfen mishnam shem matzah. So what's important is that even by kli sheni heat, and that's where it's a little more machmir, even by heat that's kli sheni, also hagala is required. So not only do I hagala for, let's say, a pot, that a chametz pot, so to speak, that's used right on top of the fire, I even have to do hagala on kelim that are only used for kli sheni heat, which is a lower form of heat. I also have to do hagala for them as well. Malacha chavhei, Now, this is always when it comes back to earthenware slash ceramic. Once I use it for hot chametz, whether it's kli rishon, kagon deros, ubein bekli sheni, kagon karos, doesn't matter what the level of heat is, bein shahayu meshuchen v'shon be'iver sh'osen osan ke'ein zechuchis, or even if I coat it with lead, which basically makes it into a glass type of, it's like a glass a coating that goes over it, bein shahayu cheres k'mashahen, or even if there is any, if it's a basic earthenware kli, we don't use these for matzah at all. Rather, we set them aside and only cook on them after Pesach. So that's what's unique about a kli cheres. And finally, alacha chafav, kli rishon sharatza lahar sicho. So let's say I have a kli rishon and I want to boil in it. V'lo matzo kli acher gadol bimeno. But I don't have a, this question comes up every year. I can't find a big kli to do hagalad. Okay, what do I do? Right, so v'lo matzo kli acher gadol mimeno keila harsicho besocho. The pot that I want to kasher is too big to fit into any one of the other pots that I have. So what do? Try this out. Hariza makif lo safa shel tit al svaso mibachutz. So you take, for example, like clay, and you put it around the lip, the upper lip of the kli that you want to kasher. Umemalehu mayim, and you can fill it up with hot water. Until the water basically spills over the top, and that's enough. And then I can go ahead and rinse it out and use it for matzah.